You're listening to episode 98 of the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we talk about the surprising way to stop hustling towards your goals. Welcome to the Rebel Buddhist Podcast, where we explore how to use the science of psychology, Eastern spiritual practices like mindfulness and compassion, and the game-changing work of self-coaching so you can free your mind and free your life. I'm your host, Anna Verzoni. Hey, hey, crazy humans. How are you doing? I am in Hawaii. I just wrapped up an amazing retreat with the Fall Adventure Mastermind Group. And this Saturday, the Spring Adventure Mastermind Group is coming for their first retreat. It's going to be amazing. The weather has been epic. I just went camping at my favorite beach and it was wonderful. All right. So today, I wanted to talk about when we hustle towards our goals and how to stop that. Okay. You may have heard me say that being an entrepreneur can be filled with spiritual growth. And I wasn't shitting you. I still believe this 100%. I have never expanded my comfort zone, dug deep with my limiting beliefs, learned to cultivate deep compassion for myself, and committed to serving others so much that I was willing to do scary shit as I have when being an entrepreneur. Yes, I have worked in refugee camps, in war zones, and other challenging humanitarian environments, right? And that helped me to act on compassion for others. But it was almost like that work was part of my nature. The growth I've had to undergo to run a business, like getting online, doing videos, doing a podcast, being on my computer, that is super not my natural state of being, right? It makes me super uncomfortable all the time. More uncomfortable than climbing a peak on a 30-day expedition without a shower, for reals. And one of the most important lessons I've learned in business over the past year was how to stop hustling towards my goals. You know, like this frantic scrambling, staying up all night during a launch, working on weekends and evenings to meet my quarterly goal, and all of that craziness. For years, I was taught that was how it was supposed to be. Right? Not everyone's cut out for this. You have to buck up and deal. And I did. I'm good at powering through hard shit. But it almost led me to giving up. Even though I wanted to share my gifts with people so badly, I didn't want to do it at a cost to my family and my health. And I started to make this shift when I was working with Susan Hyatt, one of my business coaches, who I totally did not believe when she said, the more fun you have, the more money you make. I was like, there's so many reasons why this could just be for privileged people. But listen, she was right. And a lot shifted for me when I embraced that idea that I could have fun, right? But I didn't like totally get how it worked, but I was so glad it did. Today, I wanted to share a model for how to stop the hustle cycle, which one of my other business coaches, Melanie Childers, taught me. It helped me make a lot of sense about why this actually works, right? When we stop hustling, why we're actually more effective at getting to our goals. But I want to apply it outside of entrepreneurship. Now, I know that phrase hustling may be associated a lot with business and entrepreneurship and career, but this also has a lot to do with our goals on our spiritual path, like to achieve a certain meditative stage of progress, or to stop being super bitchy to those we love, or to have more patience or less of a temper or more self-compassion. To attain enlightenment in this lifetime, right? I see attachment to the outcomes a lot with my clients. And it makes sense, right? You start a program or a spiritual practice and you want to achieve your goal. And being super attached to it seems like it will help motivate you. But the ironic thing is the more attached we are, the heavier the striving and the more pressure we put on ourselves, the less likely we are to take effective action towards our goals. And this is because when we feel that pressure, we enter into a stress cycle whenever we hit a speed bump and then we spiral. So you may not enter this hustle cycle until you didn't make as much progress as you thought. right? Like I have a client who was making really good progress. And then when things slowed down, she was so upset that she wasn't making the progress that she thought she was going to when she started a regular type of meditation practice. And thoughts started entering like, oh, maybe this isn't for me. Meditation doesn't work for me. I'm so broken, so this doesn't apply to me. And the thing is, she was still making progress, but it wasn't what she thought it should look like at first, right? So self-doubt crept in, which is what happens to all of us when we aren't achieving the goal in the way that we thought we would be, or when we are slowed down a little bit or hit an obstacle, right? When we feel self-doubt, that's when we start to panic because we suddenly don't feel safe. The world seems unpredictable and wrong, right? Then when we try to take action towards our goal, right? Like committing to massive action, right? Like, okay, I'm going to meditate an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening and do everything right and some yoga in between. Our body responds with a stress response, right? Which then also shows up in the way we think, feel, and act. So we fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And voila, we enter the hustle cycle. And this is very true when we set a big goal, like say enlightenment or to find our soul purpose in life ASAP, right? Or to make 150 grand right away, because your brain sees that the goal, oh, this might be possible. And its job is to try to keep you safe. So it tries to stop you. Right. And this makes sense why it does that, because of how our brain works. It's an efficient machine that wants to keep us safe. And remember the motivational triad. We evolved to be motivated to avoid pain, seek pleasure, and do what's easy. And big goals are none of the above. We have self-doubt that arises then. And then we put all kinds of pressure on ourselves to make all the shitty feelings stop. And to get to the result, because the world, we think, will be so much better over there than over here, right? And whenever you find yourself in a hurry to get to a goal, it's because you think it's better over there than over here. So back to the stress responses, right? Folks who tend to overthink everything, right? Like looping thoughts in the brain, getting stuck in the self-doubt and not taking any action. That's like freezing, right? Those of us who tend to flee, get the fuck out of here, we feel the pressure and we look for ways to avoid it. Over drinking, over Netflixing, getting distracted by social media, eating, spending money, basically any type of buffering. This is the topic that we're doing in Freedom School right now, buffering. It's like one of my favorites. Because if you have an issue with over anything, when you learn to address that, it actually can then spread out to so many other areas of your life, right? Those of us who tend to fight, we try to rebel against what needs to be done, right? Or maybe we overwork and don't even ask for help, right? So this is one of my defaults, right? Like, oh, don't make me sit for a minimum of 20 minutes a day on my cushion. Like, I don't have time to meditate every day. Buddha didn't have a kid around him when he got enlightened, right? So I get like all kinds of rebellious and start like justifying all of these reasons why I shouldn't do my practice. Lots of rebellion. So the fawners, right? Those who tend to fawn lean towards people pleasing, and they're going to focus on maybe perfection so they don't disappoint anyone or to avoid criticism, right? Or they just go to people pleasing actions to prove their enoughness with what they're doing, right? Like, oh, I'm worthy because I helped you with this or something. So no matter your stress response, we're going to circle back around to self-doubt and shame. And we tell stories to ourselves that we aren't enough. Then we get hella tired and burned out because this is exhausting, right? And we feel overwhelmed by it all, which then feeds back into our self-doubt. And we believe we might just not be cut out for it, right? And the cycle repeats itself. I'm going to put a little graphic that Melanie Childers gave us in her mastermind, in the Bad Bitch Mastermind, to kind of represent this cycle, okay? So you can find those in the show notes. But so what do we do, right? So one of the first things to do when we are in this cycle. We first have to notice we're hooked, right? Mindfulness, awareness, mindfulness of thought, of feelings, of body. How are you feeling? How are you acting? What are you doing? Can you identify where you are in the cycle? Just like we talked about identifying your early signs for when you're not aligned in the last episode, right? Like irritability, impatience, are you more tearful, more critical? We want to identify our hustle red flag behaviors. So, you know, and if you think about it, when you're hustling, you're not aligned. So they're very related. But maybe this for you, the hustling might look like hyper-focusing on the how. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get there? I better take more courses, get another certification, go back to grad school, read more books, listen to more podcasts, right? Finding all the answers outside of yourself. Or you're kind of like scrambling, taking all of this frantic action. Or you're having either or thinking, like I either achieve this goal or I'm screwed or I'm not worthy. You're not taking breaks ever. You're not unplugging. You're feeling like you always have to be on. Right? Perfectionism, taking on all the responsibility, feeling out of control, right? So once we're aware we're hooked by the pressure and the shame and our self-doubt, we can use some other tools to get out of it, okay? Getting out of our heads and back into our body helps. We can move our body, right? We can walk, dance, shake it out. We can splash cold water on our face. We can go outside. We can check out the episode on alignment for other tips. But any kind of thing that can change our physiology can be very helpful, okay? Changing our biological landscape to get back into alignment, right? Out of our heads, back into our body. We can do the five senses meditation where we focus on our five senses, right? We can feel into how our body feels sitting on the earth, right? The contact of our body with our seat or our cushion, the groundedness, the clothing on our skin, the breeze on our skin, the temperature. We can notice if there's any smells or tastes. We listen. What do we hear? Birds, waves. You can tell I'm in Hawaii with that, right? Maybe the refrigerator, the heater, the fan. What we see around us, what are our eyes taking in, right? We can look around, we can see that we are safe in this moment, nothing around us threatening us. So that's the other thing, finding safety in this moment, recognizing we are enough in this moment. We can also stop seeking answers from outside of us. We can ask our highest self for the answers, which really is the expert in our lives, right? Not someone else. And lastly, we want to do what both Susan and Melanie advised me, like, how can I make this fun, enjoyable, an act of love for myself? So for a meditation practice, for example, why do I want to do this? And not just, oh, I want to alleviate the suffering of others, right? One of my mentors, Tuare Sala, she said to me once, because she asked me like, why do you do this? And I came back with like, to alleviate the suffering of other sentient beings, like the Bodhisattva aspiration, right? And she was like, that's not close enough. And so she made me dive deeper and she was right, right? Like at where I was at in my practice, that felt so removed. So for me, it was my daughter wanting to be a good role model for her, to not be some scary figure that gets irritated easily, right? Or to help her feel safe. So why do I want to do this? What is close and tender and meaningful for me? And then we can ask, what would feel fun, right? How could I add fun? How could I be playful with this, right? For me, it's meditating in nature, in wild places. Like I'll be leading some mindfulness retreats in the wild in 2023, hopefully in Baja, Mexico too. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, when we are having fun doing something, it keeps us engaged and out of the stress cycle when it's fun. Now, it doesn't mean it needs to 100% of the time be fun. Like sometimes we have to do our taxes, right? And sometimes we have to sit longer than what we had intended for our meditation practice. But when we are in stress mode, it's important to add fun. When we are in stress mode, We need to add back in fun to take us out of the stress mode, or at least compassion and love, right? But joy, fun, that is really good medicine for the stress cycle, right? Because from this place, things are more sustainable. So yeah, like if you're feeling stuck in your practice, you can think of, okay, what would make this more fun? Doing a retreat over at Esalen because there's hot springs and that kind of stuff, right? Like, what are things that can help you have more fun as you reach your goal, right? When Melanie would give us a challenge and be like, and how are you going to do this challenge and make it super fun? I'd be like, what? Like, those things are kind of clashing in my brain. But it's true, and I found it was so helpful when I applied that same concept to my practice, to my personal growth goals, right? So with any goal, your sustainable action would look like asking yourself first and trusting your own answers, right? Your own answers, not judging what you call a failure, but learning from it, right? You're either progressing or learning, taking wise, reflective action, not reactive action, being sure to nourish yourself, taking time to relax and rest and play, stopping perfectionism, right? Remembering about what I've told you before about B+ work being enough, right? Willing to try things and get better. I know that when I can't meditate for my preferred time, or when I can't exercise as much as I want, I have my minimum I'll do, right? Like 5 sun salutations and 2 minutes of mindful breathing. And I will consider that a win, right? We ask for help. I have mentors that I reach out to. You know, I will say, can you meet? Like, I'm really struggling with my practice right now. The process, right? Focusing on the process as the focus for your devotion, not the goal itself. Finding the goal in the means. Focus less on the end goal of success and more on being present for the process, right? So the solution that this is all an example of is removing the pressure part of the hustle cycle, right? Starting with the pressure, which requires something rather counterintuitive, detaching from the goal. Yes. Right? So earlier I was talking about how, like, it seems like being so attached to it is a good motivator, but that applies that pressure, right? When we feel that self-doubt and that shame, then we start to have this pressure to make all those shitty feelings go away. I better do this. I better achieve this. And that puts us into a stress cycle, which we don't take effective action from. So Melanie gave us a challenge, right? Like, make back a certain amount or something in a month. And you could sense that a lot of people felt all this pressure and thought of all the things to do and asked a lot of questions about the how and what would qualify for that. That was me. And all of that. Then she says, okay, now that you have your goal, release the goal. Don't worry about it. And I was like, say what? But isn't a challenge inherently something to be attached to? And basically she was like, well, that's one way to look at it, but not the only way. And then she said, what would make this challenge so fun? Write down all the fun things you can do for this. So I did. I brainstormed all these fun ways to serve my people, like high value free challenges and trainings, fun podcast topics, sharing funny posts on social media, like doing a free like coaching Q&A or laser coaching session, right? Because those are so fun and relatively easy for me. And the awesome thing was I learned I could keep going and keep taking action and remain open to whatever result I created because I learned from it, because I removed the pressure and was able to stay out of the stress cycle for more of the time because I was enjoying it. And we can start exploring how attached we are to the goal and the underlying thoughts we have about our goal by asking ourselves some questions too, which I got from an activity that Melanie gave us. So my favorite questions were, what do you make achieving your goal mean about you? And it's flip. What do you make not achieving your goal mean about you? And how is that not true, whether you reach the goal or not? And I find that these are sometimes the only questions I need to ask. They tell me so much about why I'm so caught up in the hustle cycle sometimes, because I can see that I tell myself things like, oh, if I do this, it means I'm successful, or that all those people who thought I couldn't do it were wrong, right? Or with the flip side, it'll mean that they were right. It'll mean that I'm not worthy, that I'm not good enough, right? We can also ask, who are you regardless of whether you hit goals or not? And how is that already true now before achieving it? We can ask, how do you think you'll feel when you achieve the goal? And how do you think your life will be better when you achieve the goal? And this goes back to what I've taught you before about, you know, rushing to get over there because we think we're going to feel better or that our life will be better, right? Over there. But it won't be after the initial buzz wears off. It'll still be 50-50 in your emotional experience because life will still happen. And this also goes back to what I've taught before about having to be that person now in order to achieve the goal. How to be that person who's already achieved the goal now, right? Because we think, oh, I will then feel confident and happy and so calm and grounded when I've achieved this stage of spiritual progress, right? But no, we get there by becoming that person now, right? By embodying kindness, by practicing patience and self-compassion, by practicing equanimity, right? By cultivating our wisdom. That's how we get there, by being that person. Because what do you think that person does over there? They are doing all of that, right? Right. So we can ask, how can we feel that way now, right? You may have heard me talk about like, hey, so you want to travel the world so you can feel free and adventurous. How can you bring that into your life now as you're working towards that goal? Can you go rock climbing this weekend, take a road trip for a week? Or you want to do a 3-month meditation retreat? Well, in the meantime, can you rent an Airbnb and do an online course with Spirit Rock or a local center or a guided course through one of Tricycle Magazine's offerings, right? And of course, how is it true that you're already worthy enough and good enough now, no matter what? This is the gift of the teaching of our Buddha nature, how we all have Buddha nature, inherent wisdom and infinite capacity for love and compassion. It's not like we're all finding something. We are uncovering something already within us, inherent in us, all of us. Detaching from the goal isn't easy work, right? And this is why it requires us to feel safe to fail. Without this, the pressure is too intense, right? And then the stress cycle is hard to avoid or to exit. So we need to create safety and compassion within ourselves. This is where self-compassion practice is essential. And I say self-compassion practice because it is a practice, y'all, not just the medicine you take once in a while, right? We regularly practice mindfulness of thoughts to see when we're shitting on ourselves. We practice kind words and actions towards ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We don't beat ourselves up when our mind wanders all over the place when we've finally sat for a 45-minute meditation session. Instead, we see like, oh yeah, this is what the mind does. No judgment. Instead, curiosity, awareness, observing, detachment, right? So that's the other thing, moving from judgment to curiosity as well, not judging our experience, but just getting curious about it. So what do you need, Rebel One, to feel safe? How could it be totally safe for you to be 100% all in and fail anyway? I like to practice some thoughts like, what I learn in the process of failing, of messing up, will help so many people. Or people love my authenticity and my flaws. It makes me more human. It gives them permission to be imperfect because we all are. I remind myself everything I teach now is because I have failed at something before. Failing is inevitable and part of the process of growth, right? It's a sign I am growing. The universe doesn't give me anything I can handle either. So I've got this. I've got whatever might come up. So you can borrow some of those or come up with your own. What are thoughts that help you feel safe to fail? And in these ways we've talked about today, we can detach from our goal to remove the pressure and get us out of the hustle cycle. We can apply self-compassion to the shame and self-doubt that might come up. We can find ways to make our goal more enjoyable and light and fun and motivated, not from not feeling worthy or not feeling we are enough, to being motivated by love and inspiration and compassion and joy. So when it comes to a goal you've set for yourself, like a certain mindset you want to embody more, a certain progress you want to make in your spiritual path, a health goal, a financial or career goal, think about if you're in the hustle cycle and where you're at in it. Then release attachment to the goal. Apply some of the tools here to get you back into alignment, out of your head, into your body. Break the stress cycle, right? Practice self-compassion. Make how present you can be in the process, the goal. Have the goal show up in your journey. If you want to dive into this work more deeply, head over to joinfreedomschool.com and join us. We are having our live retreat in June in Alaska, June 22nd to the 24th, which you are welcome to come to and bring a friend. But if you can't make that, we meet every week. We have amazing courses. We are wrapping up our buffering course, which you can still have access to if you sign up today. And we have some amazing topics coming up in the next few months. So head over to joinfreedomschool.com and check it out. I'd love to see you in class. If you like what you heard, please spread the love and share it. And if you know you need some help with this and want to learn more about how to free your mind and free your life, go to rebelbuddhist.com and grab my free Rebel Buddhist Toolkit, where you'll receive a video training on cultivating resilience, access to the private Rebel Buddhist group where I do weekly live sessions on topics just like this, and a copy of the gorgeous Rebel Buddhist Manifesto, and more for free. That's rebelbuddhist.com.